from Johannesburg to Jerusalem. The world is always changing, growing and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I am Benji Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review. Welcome to the show on this Monday morning. And as ever, we have a fantastic lineup for you. We are going to be dealing with a whole range of issues and looking at a bunch of stuff, including innovation in Israel, as we always do. We have an innovation feature, good news feature, looking at good news things that are happening in the country. We're also going to be looking at the presidential debate in America and asking, is there a good news story there for the Jews? That is another important question. But first off, we're actually going to be dealing with the question of local anti-Semitism and what is going on there, including some activists out there that have been doing some pretty good work in combating some of the most egregious versions of this, which have been circulating around at the moment. So we're going to be talking to a Twitter activist, name is Tim Flack, and he is a Twitter activist. He's into marketing, and he recently did a most interesting takedown of one of Twitter's most notorious, infamous anti-Semites in South Africa. And I think it's a nice textbook case of what happens when you are dealing with people like this. And I think it's just really impressive and really interesting. So we're going to be chatting to him about that. 34519 is the SMS line if you want to be in touch with us. We always like to hear what you have to say and how you know, you can be talking to us, because we want to hear from you. So that is what we're going to be doing on the show today. So do stay tuned. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review. And there's an old saying, how do you deal with anti-Semites? And the answer is one at a time. And so there is one that was severely and effectively dealt with the other day. And I thought it was such a nice case study that we should bring on the person who did it, especially since he is not from our community and actually was doing it out of, I don't just say the goodness of his heart, but certainly the annoyance of his Twitter feed. And it was absolutely fascinating and fun to watch. So we definitely thought we would have him on and let him tell us about it. His name is Tim Flack. He is a marketing and PR specialist. And he is the terror of Twitter for people who don't like Jews. Tim, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
How's it, Benji? How's it going?
Very, very well, thank you. And nice to have you on with us. Tim, maybe start with a bit of your background. How did you come to this issue that you we'll talk about the incident in a moment, but like you've been a friend of Jews for many years. Where does this interest in this issue come from?
Many, many years ago when I was about 6 years old, and I'm 37 now, so we're talking many, many years ago. My mom started working for one of the Jewish social services in Durban, and she was asked to help by one of the directors of the board there, and that was sort of my very first introduction into the Jewish community. And one of the very first things that I remember happened was my mom came home and she said she couldn't believe what had happened, and someone had taken a pig's head and spray painted or carved a swastika on its forehead and dropped it on the steps of the shul. And I remember asking why that happened, and my dad sat me down and my mom sat me down and kind of explained what had happened during World War II, and that kind of spread from there. My parents were always very good at explaining things to me. I was an interesting child. You've met me yourself. You know, I'm a little bit different. So I asked a lot of questions, and from then on, I mean, the decision was made that anti-Semitism is bad. Most people should come to that conclusion. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, talking about interesting decisions, Tim, I mean, besides your interesting musical accompaniments and whatever, you also spent some time in the military. You've got a bit of PR background. What is it that you do at the moment?
I'm a PR firm in Cape Town. It's called Flak Partners PR. I've been operating since about 2016 when I made a very wise decision to step out of politics. I was working for a certain political party in Parliament and decided that politics wasn't for me and I wasn't going to be an MP. So I went into communications, and my very first case involved a very high profile person that I did communications for. And stop them from losing their job and all sorts of things. And I do communications, but sort of gray area stuff, a lot of investigative stuff. One of my friends in Israel likes to say I like to do like a PR, investigative PR, a PIPR type thing. He's often quite astounded how I can find information so quickly.
Which is actually part of what we're going to be having our discussion about today. I mean, one more thing just about your background. Does it have anything to do with sort of your military background, or was that kind of a separate element?
I think my military background, like I said earlier, is that I'm often considered a little bit different to others. The ADHD is then possibly I'm living in the TISM prism, maybe. Military was something that grounded me. When I was 19 years old, I made the decision that I hated life and I didn't want to be under the control of my parents anymore, and I was very rebellious. So I joined the South African National Defence Force, and I think that paved the way for a lot of things for me. I learned how to work with people. I understood the value of being a team and a family when it comes to that sort of stuff. But it definitely made me tougher and made me grow up quite quickly.
Well, that is certainly very interesting, and gives you an interesting, a little bit of a perspective of who Tim Flak is, and what he gets up to. So let's talk about the man in question, Tim. There is a Twitter profile. It's connected to it's connected to a real person. It's not a sock puppet or a bot or anything. A guy called he goes by, I think it's Mohammed Def, if I'm not or Vach, if I'm not sure exactly how it's pronounced, but he's a Turkish guy, lives in Cape Town, is sort of ran a political party that I think got less votes in the election than a local by-election, but nonetheless has some pretty horrific viewpoints about LGBTI people, about Jews, and he seems to spend his entire life on Twitter, sort of expanding and expounding upon his various weird conspiracy theories. That's how I got to know him. I mean, I don't know, where did you bump into him from?
His name is Mehmet Vefadag. He's a Turkish national who appears to have South African citizenship, but how he popped up on my timeline, he's been around for quite some time, but he's a bit of an annoyance because the things that he says is just quite sort of out there and stupid. And my sort of introduction to him at one point was when he took on a local woman called Michelle, and she had given him a hard time, and I think there was an article published in the Jewish Report about her taking him on. But then he had posted something about the rainbow flag that was painted on the streets in Cape Town, and he was going to paint over it. And I thought to myself, either one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to rock up there, try and painted and someone's going to blix him, or nothing's going to happen and the media is just going to like kind of give him his 2 minutes of fame. And it kind of went from there. When October 7th happened, I just noticed that there was a lot more posts coming from him, and it was getting out of hand. He just sort of shifted over from talking about Zionism to Jews, and I thought, no, this is now incitement. And especially when he brought up Herzliya School in Cape Town, and I thought to myself, you can't have a full-grown adult threatening kids. Like I said, that's not on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember that incident that you're referring to, because in Cape Town they have this thing which is like, you know, one of these sort of kitschy gay pride things where they took a zebra crossing somewhere in the middle of Cape Town. I'm very Cape Townian. So instead of the black and white zebra crossing, they had a rainbow zebra crossing, which is kind of cute, you know. And he literally like filmed a video of himself standing on the zebra crossing, as you say, threatening to paint it over. So that just gives you, I think, some of what you need to know from that perspective. But also, as you say, completely the tweets, lots of stuff about Israel, but always then lots of stuff about Jews and how they're controlling Cape Town and how they're bringing in immigration to kick out other people. And you can go into his Twitter timeline if you really want to know something about it. But the guy is it's also like not very well hinged, I would say, would be one way of describing it. Like, it's never, I suppose, like most anti-Semites, particularly well thought through. It's kind of completely all over the place, always in capital letters, and generally on the insane side of the spectrum. Which leads us to a question, like, should you just leave a person like that alone?
I don't think we should. Honestly, I know he's looking for attention, and I know he wants to cause reactions and stuff like that. But the unfortunate thing is that it's insightful stuff, and I ended up uncovering a few other things about him that made me worry even more. And this is why we need to focus on these kinds of things. There's been an instance where he's been dealt with in the courts. I'm not going to go into too much detail because there are children involved too. However, it turns out his kids were taken away from him by the Indonesian government, who had to apply for special permission from the South African courts to take them and leave South Africa because of allegations of abuse. There was allegations of sexual assault against the one child. And violence against women that he had been married to, including his wife that was dying of stage 4 cancer at the time. He was abusing her while she was dying. And these are all in court documents that can be found online. It's very easy. The Indonesian consulates publicized it. The advocate that represented the Indonesian consulate and the children themselves is also available to find this information. And when I saw that, I thought, this is now enough. If someone's having even the reference to having done things like that, and they're making threats against kids, and he always seems to go after women. He constantly goes after a friend of mine, Michelle, online, and that sort of stuff is dangerous. What's stopping him from going to a school and harming someone?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Tim Flack today. He is a Twitter terrorist of his own making, and he's talking to us about this particular anti-Semite that he managed to take down in Cape Town. We're going to be chatting more about that. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. Welcome to the show on this Monday morning. And good to be with you as always. We're talking to Tim Flack. He is a PR and PI specialist and someone who has been out there defending the Jewish community in very interesting and different ways. Now, Tim, before the break, you sort of mentioned how you came across some of these very disturbing things that were happening, and this particular person, not only was he sprouting hatred in this public sphere, but he had actually seemingly been involved in some very, very dangerous and dodgy stuff in his own family, to the extent, as you said, that people had to be gotten out of his custody. So, you know, people often ask me how these sorts of things work, and maybe you prepare to take us through the process. Like, how did you go about, once you had decided that you thought that there was a problem, how did you decide about going and then doing what you did?
Look, a lot of it's called OSINT. It's open source in information, that open source intelligence, and people put a lot of things online. Just doing something as simple as Googling someone's name can yield a lot of information. There's a lot of tools out there as well that you can use to be able to dig and find various bits of information. But he's an open book. He posts everywhere because he wants all the attention. So everything's available. And it ended up being him threatening again. He seems to have this obsession with my friend Michelle. And I thought to myself, that night it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I haven't slept very well since October 7th, to be honest. But I Googled his name and just Googled different phrases next to it. His name, wife, his name, job, what kind of job he does, that sort of stuff. And it popped up the story from the Indonesian consulate. And from there, it just opened up a whole lot of information. The Indonesian consulate wasn't shy about bringing his name up and saying who he was. And then from there, it was a quick phone call the next day, and I got all the court documents from the advocate, and that was it. But yeah, open source intelligence is... anyone can do it. It's easy to. There's a lot of tools that you can use to be able to find information on people.
But you didn't just stop there with the information, right? That was kind of only part of it. And I suppose, as you say, anyone with a reasonable ability to Google something and as you say, one or two tools that can be used for the purpose. But you didn't stop there, right? You then decided to go on the offense with this guy.
No, absolutely. And I thought if he wants the attention, then he's going to get the attention. So I tweeted about what he does and the whole story behind him, who he is, what he's done, and what happened to his children. It went viral. Turns out not only people who are pro-Israel, but people in general who he's irritated over the years. Started sharing the story and commenting, and now whenever he says anything, people just tell him to keep quiet or ask him where his children are. And if you go and look at his Twitter profile, he just retweets regular news now. He's not really doing much. He still has the comments about Jews, which I don't think will ever go away. However, but. I believe that he's gotten to the point now where he's said enough, where people in the Jewish community can actually start laying cases. I learned my lesson sort of the hard way, where I put a case against the previous Johannesburg mayor for wielding an AK-47 and posing in front of the Hamas flag. And I laid a case against him at the Human Rights Commission. And it turns out I was the only one that actually did. And this whole process we went through the process, and it's actually been fruitless, because at least it disrupted him. We haven't seen any hateful rhetoric coming from the ex-Joburg mayor. The whole process is still ongoing. But the crux of the matter is I'm not Jewish, and that much was made obvious to them. And they pointed it out too. And I, not being from the community myself, I can't claim that I've been harmed by it, being a non-Jew. So I'm hoping that the information that I've put out, and also talking to you today, that there are people in the community, maybe the board and the Fed will take a closer look at him, because there is a danger there, I believe. And hopefully, if we're lucky, something will happen, and he'll be held accountable for what he's doing and what he said.
I mean, that tweet that you put out, when you say it went viral, I mean, how many views did it get in the end?
Let me quickly have a look here. Sorry, let me pull it up quickly. I thought I had it up here.
It wasn't a small number.
No, it wasn't. I think it was about 250,000 or something like that.
Which in a South African context is quite a serious, I mean, unless you're the Kiffness, you know, putting cat songs out about Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. it's a pretty significant number. I mean, Tim, people ask this of me, you know, because I'm on the radio as well, and you know, you have to do stuff out there or whatever. People always say, well, you know, aren't you scared? Like, did this guy not, once you had exposed all of this and caused this, you know, all this stuff to be on Twitter, were you not scared for your own safety or scared that he might do something? Because I think that's what a lot of people are concerned about when it comes to either being publicly pro-Israel or defending the community, is that they might get themselves targeted.
Well, I've recently after this case with Mehmet, I've taken on the Muslim Judicial Council as well, and that's another story. And I wrote an article about it in the Times of Israel called "The Moral Bankruptcy of Support for Hamas," where they declared that very, very proudly, "I am Hamas," and then the ANC came out and did the same thing. But it's the same players, so it's the same players from the ANC, and then our good friends over at Al Jamaa as well. Trying to and I mean it's dangerous thing that you've got big communities that will defend their leadership. So I'm probably not scared either, that or I've got a death wish. But I mean, I'll quote a movie, and I've got a particular set of skills that I've acquired over a certain amount of time that make me a nightmare for people like that. So I'm not scared. If they can, if there is a real threat or danger, it's going to be very, very difficult to create harm for me.
Tim, did you ever watch that series? And I've gone and forgotten the name. Is it called The Fixer or The Cleaner or the with yes, Olivia yes. Pope? What was it called? I forget.
It was called The Fixer.
Is it called The Fixer? Okay. I mean, when you watch a movie like that, or does that feel like your real life?
It pretty much does. The fixer's actually, strangely enough, is one of my email addresses.
Okay.
And it's been a recurring theme in my life. These are things that I have been done. I have done work for politicians in that sort of manner that Olivia Pope has done. I've got connections with really, really good attorneys. I've written speeches for politicians, that sort of stuff. So this kind of thing is, if you look at the story, minus all the sort of weird morals and loose bedroom scenes. I'm not James Bond. I'm not James Bond or anything, but it is pretty much my life. I mean,
the reason I ask is that not everyone can be a fixer, and perhaps not everyone should be, because if you don't have the skills, this kind of stuff can be dangerous. I mean, even in the case that you cited at the Twitter, Mehmet has supposedly even laid a charge against you at a police station or something. Not that it was, I don't think it went anywhere or even was properly done. But there are things. But what advice would you give to people who are looking to sort of make a difference in this public sphere and not sure how, or are kind of concerned for their safety but still want to do something? How would you approach it?
Well, one of the things I want to bring up is that for many, many years I've been involved in the firearms lobby in South Africa. In South Africa, we have specific laws that allow us to own a firearm for self-defense purposes. If you are able to and are comfortable doing so, I would very much encourage you to get a firearms license, do your competency, and own a firearm and carry it every day. We not necessarily for anti-Semites that might want to hurt you, but in general, I mean, we've got very, very dangerous crime in South Africa anyway. So that's the first one. The second one is always make sure of your facts. I had suspicions about a lot of these guys for a long time, and I could only act on them or say anything about them once I had court documents that proved it that way. Obviously, when things involve children, you can't name them. There's certain laws and stuff like that. So always check beforehand what you're going to put out there. But I'd say the community specifically needs to, it would be nice to see a lot more people standing up for themselves. I spent some time in Israel recently, as you know, and I mean, at the Nova Festival, there was an air raid siren that went off, and I ran to one of the bomb shelters, and I realized afterwards that that was one of the bomb shelters where young kids and young adults had grenades thrown at them, and they were killed inside there. It's not something that we're obviously blessed in South Africa, but we can't let it get to the point where people can't protect themselves and don't know how to.
Yes, absolutely. I think that
we need to fight against that sort of hatred.
Are there reflections of Israel, Tim? Like, I mean, when you went, besides the air raid sirens, was there anything else that struck you about the society?
Absolutely loved it. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was quite interesting in Tel Aviv. I took a walk at when I got after the sort of the official trip ended. I went away for a little bit to Cyprus and came back again. But it was quite interesting. You have different beaches. You've got a gay beach and then you've got a Hasidic beach where religious Jews go. And then on certain days, women can go to the religious beach, and then on certain days, men can go to the beach. But the beaches are opposite each other, and it's perfectly fine. Everyone's happy. You walk in Tel Aviv and there's people from all over the world, and they all end up being united culturally because they speak Hebrew and because they're Jewish, and the state of Israel is their home. I look for the apartheid in Israel. I really did. I looked hard too. One thing that sort of irritated me before I went was that apparently when the voting was happening, South Africans that were in Israel couldn't vote and were told that they must go to Ramallah. At that specific moment in time, going into Ramallah wasn't really necessarily the wisest thing in the world to do anyway. And if you're Jewish, there's not a chance in hell that people would want to go through to Ramallah to go and vote. So I looked for the apartheid that I've seen is... I looked at other things when I came back as well. The apartheid that I did see is that Jews can't go into places like Beit Lachem or Hebron, but Arabs from those areas can come into Israel. So where's the Israeli apartheid that they were talking about?
Yes, absolutely. And you definitely, in some of your posts on your trip, you definitely dealt with some of those issues quite effectively. Tim, if people want to follow your good work and see what you're up to, where's the best place that they can do it?
Well, they can find me on Twitter if they want. I've got at times I tend to get quite passionate, so don't be alarmed if you see some passionate language. It's just very difficult dealing with certain people sometimes, and one does get angry, and I think it's justifiable. But you can find me on Twitter. It's TIM_MEH and then the number 87. I've been on Twitter since June 2011, but they can also head to my website. It's flakpartners.co.za. I'm based in Cape Town. If you need that sort of stuff, then you can always contact me through those pages.
I think on your Twitter account it currently says what, Tim the Jew Flack? What? There's something.
I changed my name to Jewish Tim, and then the top has got a kippah in the corner, and I take that from the Danish king. It's rumored. I don't know if it was actually 100% confirmed or whether it happened or not. But the story that goes along the lines of when the Germans had taken over Denmark, the Danish king had mentioned something about if they required the Jews of Denmark to wear a Star of David, he would do the same. Either that, or he actually wore a Star of David himself. And I'm quite happy to say I'm Jewish anyway. And strangely enough, the day after I did it, the amount of hate mail that came in was absolutely disgusting. The last comment I got yesterday was, how do you sleep at night knowing you support genocide? Your parents and grandparents who suffered from the Nazis in World War II would see you as the same as them, you Zionist pig. I hope you die. And my response to him was, is there genocide in the room with us now?
Well, certainly not boring. Yes, so you can go check out Tim Flack. You can see his PR stuff and his Twitter stuff, which is endlessly amusing in some respects. Tim, thank you so much for joining us, and please keep up the good work. We really appreciate, on behalf of the community, what you are doing to deal with some of the serious nasties out there.
Cool. Thanks so much, Benji. And yeah, people can also go and see my blog on the Times of Israel as well.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Tim regularly does do some quite... In fact, Tim, didn't you... There was a case where you wrote something and the deputy foreign minister was actually completely incensed and
yes,
and believed that you had somehow was setting some sort of policy or something. I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, he had mentioned me specifically in Parliament. He first brought up, I think, the chairperson of the board, but then specifically mentioned me in Parliament
as a journalist for the Times of Israel. Israel. That was how he put it, I think.
As a journalist for the Times of Israel, and the minister's remarks were in response to an article because I criticized the inconsistent support from the ANC for Palestinian solidarity because they stopped wearing kefirs all of a sudden. And they used kefirs as an election campaign trail. And now if you look around, the ANC doesn't wear kefirs anymore, and we're seeing less and less Palestinian flags. But he really had a go at Zev Kringle, and he had a go at me in Parliament. So it was quite funny. So I wrote about it too.
Well, yeah, go check that out. Times of Israel, Tim Flack. You can see some of his work there. Tim, fabulous speaking to you. Enjoy Cape Town and keep up the good work.
Awesome, Benji. Thanks so much.
Great chatting there. Tim Flack, a really interesting fellow doing really helpful work.